You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
What do I have to do to be saved? It's a question our teacher, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, received frequently. And it's a question that we at Through the Bible still hear almost every day. Do you want to know the answer? Or do you know a friend, maybe, who needs to hear this great invitation? Well, then hop aboard the Bible bus and invite everyone you know to join us as we journey through Galatians chapter 2, verses 14 to 20. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host. But before the Bible bus starts rolling, I wanted Greg Harris to come in. He's the president of Through the Bible, and he wants to share some good news with us. So, Greg, what's new at Through the Bible?
One of my favorite questions. And before I answer that, Steve, we often, when we have these family talks with our listening family, you and I and our team here, we talk about how we don't want to just share what we're doing that's somehow divorced from your daily life as a Christian. So I hope as we talk about this particular new project that you will gain some insights into how God can move in your own life. And the first thing I want to say is that some of our really faithful, careful listeners are going to say, well, we've heard about this before. So why are you saying it's new? And what I want to point out is that when God moves in our lives, it doesn't always happen in an instant. Dr. McGee teaches that all throughout the scriptures, when he says the king's business does not require haste and we need to wait on the Lord. So the story we want to revisit has some new dynamics, okay? And it starts with a giant refugee camp in northern Kenya in a place called Kakuma.
Yep.
And what we found out is that there, because of the civil war in South Sudan, there's something in the neighborhood of 60, upwards maybe even 100,000 refugees from South Sudan, okay? And through some partnerships and relationships, that's a key thing. Mm-hmm. Most of what God will do in our lives will be through relationships, right, that we already have.
Right.
We found out that there's a ministry putting an FM signal into that camp.
Mm.
And we were friends with a mutual friend of that ministry. And through that connection, and our friend Ray Allery, we love to talk about Ray, our Canadian director. I now say he's like a super magnet for ministry.
Yeah.
He just walks and ministry opportunities come.
Yeah, they glom onto him and they just,
And Ray has so much, earlier this month we talked about joy in ministry. Ray brings so much joy. And I think people are attracted to his passion, his vision, and his joy. And that's why these things are happening. Well, so what he did was he said, why don't we put Through the Bible on some players and send it into the camp and see if there's hunger? Well, what do you think happened?
Everyone used the players and they said, give us a bunch more.
Yeah. So what Ray did, because Ray is also a very, Dr. McGee would love Ray because he's very good at getting the maximum value
out
of the dollar.
Fellow.
Okay, let us put it that way. Yeah. He made a deal and said, we'll give you this large amount of players to go into the camp if you put us on the radio for free for 2 years.
And they said, sure.
And they said, of course. That's
oh,
great.
My goodness.
Yeah. Okay. And then I was just talking to him yesterday, and the part that's new in this story is that there's another FM station by another ministry that we know, and they are ministering in Swahili because there are Swahili speakers in this camp.
So,
So the South Sudanese, we've often talked about the Juba Arabic, which you and I were in Uganda to meet
Pastor Abraham.
So we actually now have Through the Bible going in from two different FM stations into this gigantic refugee camp. I hear it has like 200,000 people in it. And so it's, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, it is a captive audience.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a lot like broadcasting into a prison.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Steve, this is just exciting, and I hope we can enjoy it. And also, maybe think about your own life and think about the relationships you have. And the thing I admire about Ray is he has so much vision about reaching people that I think God will show him ways to do it.
Yeah, he just opens doors and blesses Ray's efforts. And
yeah.
even this program, I mean, we've had, just from these conversations, we've had people contact us, and
yes.
we are doing ministry
yeah.
as a result of people hearing, you know, these kind of stories.
Yes, and that you're referring to, we love to tease our friend in Las Vegas.
Yeah, what good thing comes out of Vegas?
Exactly, exactly. That is a similar story where we started and Ray started putting players in there with Through the Bible on the local language that's in Liberia, and now they want to start a radio station.
Yeah.
And the thing I love about telling these stories is we didn't make any of this up. We didn't. It was never our idea to do it. All we did was follow God's lead.
Yeah. And it's also encouraging because, you know, we jokingly said, you know, I called Ray, I don't know if I called him cheap or whatever I called him, thrifty.
Thrifty, you called
thrifty
him.
Fellow.
You didn't call him cheap.
But that bleeds over into one of our core values of stewardship.
Yes.
And we want to be good stewards of the financial support, the gas for the Bible bus, as so many listeners talk about, or spare tire or whatever. I mean, some of that gets repurposed and sent internationally. And we want to make sure that we don't just spend a bunch of money and get a commitment to something and then we don't get a response. So especially with these media players, everybody loves little digital shiny things. And we want to make sure that they're actually using them. And we've been very diligent in that.
Yes.
Greg, pray for us as we begin.
Father, thank you for the new things you're doing in the ministry of Through the Bible around the world. I pray that you'd be doing new things in the lives of our listening family and that they would testify to your greatness in their lives. And we look to you now as we open our hearts to study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's our study of Galatians 2 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come back to Galatians, the second chapter, verse 15. Now we had been talking about the personal experience Paul had had. That is, his personal experience in Arabia. We see the origin of the gospel as far as he was concerned. That was the time of the conversion of the man. And then we had the experience of Paul with the apostles in Jerusalem. We see the oneness of the gospel. Though he'd had no contact with the apostles at all relative to the gospel he was preaching and the gospel they were preaching, he found out they were preaching the same thing, the gospel of the grace of God, and that they were in that day communicating the same gospel. Then we had the experience of Paul in Antioch with Simon Peter, and there we saw the opposition to the gospel, and it came in a very unusual way. It was a man that yielded to legalism. Even Simon Peter did that. And the gospel ought to lead to having a conviction concerning conduct. Now, we said last time that Simon Peter, who came up to Antioch to visit, saw that Paul was eating at the Gentile table and enjoying a good pork roast. He wondered whether he could try it. And so he went over and he found out that he liked pork too and never tasted it before. And he was enjoying that table, living just like a Gentile until the brethren came up from Jerusalem. And I tell you, those were austere gentlemen. They were legalistic. Well, when these brethren came up, Simon Peter, he beat it back to the kosher table, sat down with these brethren rather sheepishly, and Paul saw what was taking place. And Paul says here, verse 14, and I back up to read that again. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, what he's saying is simply this, that this man, when he left the Gentile table and went back to the kosher table, he's saying that that Gentile table is wrong, or he wouldn't have left. He's saying that the kosher table is the right one, and he goes back from the liberty that we have in Christ to a legalism, actually, to Judaism again. Now, the nature of the rebuke that Paul gave shows, first of all, the inconsistency of law-keeping. You see, if it was right for Simon Peter to live as the Gentile believers live, why should he desire the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And that's what he's saying when he went back there. Now, if Gentile living under grace apart from the law was good enough for Simon Peter, was it bad for the Gentiles themselves? Well, it's like that song, the old-time religion. If it was good for Paul and Peter, it's good enough for me, friend. And it is the liberty that we have in Christ. Now, if Simon Peter was free to live outside the law, was it not lawful for the Gentiles to do the same? Now, Paul begins at verse 15 to state the doctrine of justification by faith. And we have, first of all, in the remainder of this chapter, justification by faith, the doctrine stated. Now, will you listen to this? Now, Paul takes his position as a Jew. That was his background. Listen to him. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentile. Now, the Jew in that day looked upon the Gentile as a sinner. In fact, Gentile and sinner were rather synonymous in that day. And therefore, the rebuke that Paul gave shows the folly, actually, of law-keeping, how really foolish it is. Now, will you listen to him as he is speaking in this section here? He says, knowing that a man, this is verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we, that is, we Jews, we Israelites, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, I'd like to hear the legalist preach on that verse. Never heard but one on it, and I tell you it was a travesty of interpretation to hear him take this verse. This verse will upset every legal system there is today, and any person that says that you have to add anything to faith in Christ, my friend, when the minute that you do that, you have absolutely mutilated the gospel. Now notice what he's saying here. He says, if a Jew had to leave the law behind, that is, he had to forsake it, in order to be justified by faith and not by the works of the law, then Paul's question is, why should the Gentile be brought under the law? And that was the great argument at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15. Should the Gentile be brought under the law? And thank God the answer then was, guided by the Spirit of God, that the Gentile was not under the law for salvation at all, and actually he's not under it for living at all. He's called to a much higher plane. Now will you notice, could the Gentile find justification under the law when the Jew had already proven that it was impossible? The Jew had had the law for almost 1,500 years, and he hadn't been able to keep it at all. And the thing was that why force the Gentiles under that which had not saved not even one Israelite? Now, as the Gentile believers were already justified by grace, Paul is saying it would be folly for them to turn from that to the law which had been unable to justify the Jew. Now, that's what he's saying in this section, and I want now to pick this verse apart. Will you look at it now with me? And I hope you have your Bible before you, and you could just follow along in the text. Oh, how you need that through here. Now, will you listen to this? Knowing that a man, this is something you can know. You can know whether you're saved or not. Knowing that a man, what kind of man? Anthropos is the word, and it means, actually, it's the generic term for mankind. And it speaks of the solidarity of the race, the common humanity that all of us have. This breaks the barrier of color. It breaks the barrier of race. It breaks the barrier of the social strata. Knowing that any man, doesn't make any difference who the man is, we are all on one ground before the cross, and that ground just happens to be sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I don't care who you are, you're a sinner in God's sight. Knowing that a man, any man, is not justified by the works, and the thee here is not in the original. Actually, it should be works of law. Now, that includes the Mosaic system, but it includes any legal system. Now, will you hear me very carefully? If you say today that you have to join a certain church, or that you have to have a certain experience, or that you have to be baptized to be saved, may I say to you that you're contradicting this verse here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of law, any law, the Mosaic system. But Paul here embraces the whole legal system that you find in every religion. In fact, the thing that makes Christianity different from every religion on top side of the earth, friends, is this. Every religion that I know anything about, and I've attempted to read up on all the religions and cults of this world, and every one of them says, do something. Do something. Every one of them. Christianity does not say that. Christianity says you're justified by faith. That is, faith in an accomplished act and fact for you. That is, every other religion says do. Christianity says done. It's done. The great transaction is done, and you're asked to believe it. Now let me add something else here that I didn't even mention when we went through 1 Corinthians in that section on gifts. What Paul is actually saying when in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now will you listen to me very carefully here? No man can call Jesus a curse. How can you call Jesus a curse? If you say to me, McGee, when you came to Christ and accepted him as your Savior, you didn't get all that was coming to you. Now the Holy Spirit can give you something that you didn't get in Christ, and you ought to seek that today. My friend, when you begin to depreciate the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, when he came to this earth to die for you and worked out a perfect salvation so that when he went back to heaven, it says he sat down at the right hand of God. You know the reason it says he sat down? Because there wasn't anything else to be done. If there was, he would have done it before he sat down. When he sat down, it meant it was an accomplished fact. Now, when you say that he didn't do it all for me, may I say you're saying Jesus is a curse. And you can't do that by the Holy Spirit of God. And you're not giving me good advice. You're not giving me the word of the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take the things of Christ, the Lord Jesus said, and show them unto you. In fact, he said he'll not speak of himself. My friend, you got the whole ball of wax when you came to Christ. He's given you everything that you'll need in this life, and it's to Christ that we come. He is the one today that administers all the gifts, if you please. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives them, but only he's working down here under the supervision of the second person of the Godhead. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. My friend, today we've got everything in him. He is all in all. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Amen. And when you say amen, you're through, my friend. Amen. He did it all. And that's all he asks you to say when you come to him. Now, this is pretty straight here. You can't misunderstand this verse. Knowing that any man, any human being, man or woman, black or white, doesn't make any difference, rich or poor, bond or free, Roman, American, Chinese, knowing that any man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith plus something, faith plus nothing. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now he says we. Who's we? We Israelites. We had to leave the law and come to Christ and trust him in order to be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of law. Listen to him. I think anybody can understand this. I think some of the liberal theologians would be able to understand this. Will you listen to it? This is the word of God. For by the works of law shall no flesh be justified. Don't depreciate the work of the Lord Jesus and say that I didn't get everything from him. I got a perfect salvation from him. I was a hell-doomed sinner. I came to him. I trusted him. And he is the one that has saved me. Now will you notice verse 17? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Now, this is a verse, very candidly, that I'm very frank to say is a little more difficult, I think a little more difficult to understand than verse 16. Let me give you what I believe is the sense of it here. And I should probably elaborate a little bit more on it when it says justified by faith. Justified is the Greek word dikaio, which means to declare a person right. That is to make him right. You're declared to be right by your faith in Jesus Christ. And it means a sinner who's guilty before God, and he's under condemnation and under judgment, and he's declared to be right with God on the basis of his faith in the redemption that we have in Christ. And it's not just forgiveness of sins, which is subtraction, but it's the addition of the righteousness of Christ. He's declared righteous. And it's not my righteousness, because my righteousness is not acceptable and it's not as good as this. I got a perfect righteousness, and that is Christ. Now, the Jew had to forsake the law, take his place as a sinner in order to be saved by the faith in Christ. Now, I do not think that any statement could be more dogmatic and crystal clear than, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, verse 17 goes on to say, and the sense of this verse seems to be that since the Jew had to forsake the law in order to be justified by Christ and therefore take his place as a sinner, is Christ the one who makes him a sinner? Paul says, of course not. The Jew, like the Gentile, was a sinner by nature, and he could not be justified by the law as he demonstrated. This is what we have in Acts 15, verses 10 and 11. Now, therefore, why put God to the test? To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Who said that? Simon Peter said that, by the way. And so he and Paul were in agreement on the doctrine of justification by faith. Now, let me just keep right on moving right down in this section here. He says, verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, what Paul actually is saying here is that if I go back under law, then I make myself a transgressor. But he says, I'm free from the law. Now, how did he become free from the law? He says, for I, through law, am dead to law, and thee shouldn't be here, that I might live unto God. I, through the law, am dead to the law. In other words, when Christ died for me, I died. And I died, now I'm dead to the law, and I'm not under it. So that's another reason that he gives here for this matter of rebuking Simon Peter. We are absolutely free from the law. Now, will you notice verse 20? And this is another one of these most misunderstood verses. And I'll carry it over to the next time to elaborate it on it more, because this is an important section, friends. As you can see, this tells you what the gospel really is. Verse 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and he gave himself for me. Now, this verse states a fact which is true of every believer. And it's not that we're to seek to be crucified with Christ. Now, I've been to conferences, young people's conferences. When I was a younger preacher, I went for 12 straight years here in Southern California to one of the greatest conference grounds for young people in that day that I've ever been to. And I've seen literally hundreds. I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say I've seen thousands of young people accept Christ. And I meet them all over this land. I hear from them. Many of them write in and say, it was up there at that conference I made a decision. But I've heard many of those young people get up and they give verse 20 of Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And they did not know any more what that verse meant than a goat grazing grass out on a hillside. They just didn't know. But that verse is without doubt more misapplied today. But I'll wait till next time and I want to talk about it, because it's another very important verse, by the way. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
That's all for today. If you want to get a copy of the reading schedule for our studies, download it at ttb.org/bookmark or call 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll put you on our mailing list to receive it along with our monthly newsletter. Again, that's ttb.org or 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and we're so grateful for your company on the Bible Bus, and we're praying that you'll be strengthened and helped by God's Word today.
Jesus came in home, unto Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, be washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We're located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m., and that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land what a mighty, mighty service we had Sunday. Glory to God. I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit was so evident there, and I tell you, there was a lot of people just glorifying God and thanking Him for everything that He's done for them during the course of the week. And I want to tell you today that He's right there where you are. If you love Him and want to give your heart to Him, He can do this very same thing that we experienced on Sunday. Praise God. Don't forget, we're the church in the city with the city in His heart. Praise God. We love you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we can just come into your homes and speak the truth of God's word. Because the Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. So if you keep your mind and heart on the word of God, the Lord will bless you. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Pray for our radio listeners and faith partners out there in Radio Land. We ask your blessings to be upon them each and every minute of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we're talking about salvation. Praise God. We want to tell you that the Lord loves you. He's soon to come back. And I've been led, praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit that there are many people out there that have tuned into this broadcast from here and there. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we want to do by the grace of God is to tell you that you don't have to be in a church building to get saved. Right where you are, you can get on your knees and tell the Lord Jesus Christ your problem, and He's the problem solver, and He will bring forth deliverance in your life, give you eternal life. That way everything will be according to His plan. Praise God. Well, let's look at what the Word of God says here today, because the God that we serve is a good God. He's the best. There's none like Him throughout this earth. We want to praise Him and thank Him for everything, because apart from Him, we can do nothing, nor do we have anything of any great significance, because He and He alone deserves all the honor and the glory. Praise God.
Amen.
All the honor and the glory. We lift Him up. He is the ascended Lord and the risen Savior. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that He loves you so much that He went to the cross of Calvary for all of your sins, sicknesses, griefs and sorrow, shortcomings, whatever the problem may be. He took it and nailed it to His cross, so that you would have the opportunity to have eternal life, providing that you believe and trust in Him. Praise God. in St. John 1 and verse 12, Jesus speaking to John, it says that for as many as received him, see, you have to receive him. You have to open up your heart and ask him to come in. He will not go against your will. He created us all as free moral agents. We have the choice if we want to have eternal life by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ come into our lives. So the word tells us there, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, our sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise God. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? If you do, praise God, ask him to come into your heart. He loves you and he wants to save you. It was a divine purpose of him coming into this world to deliver mankind back unto the Father. Minister Gloria, the scriptures tells us all that the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love and the thing that he's done for us all, that if we truly believe and trust in him, we can have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start after you die. You have eternal life now if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. What does it say in St. John 3 there, verse 16? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Because when we believe what the Word of God is saying, glory to God, that God loves us so much. It was a divine purpose that he came into this world.
Amen.
It's not that he came because he didn't have anything else to do in heaven. He came because all humanity was lost. The world was full of sin. And still a lot of sin is going on. But if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Amen. So,
John?
Yes.
3:16 says, for God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Isn't that wonderful? This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will give you eternal life, providing that you would believe and trust in him. Praise God. And I want to tell you today that it's not about just going into some church building and singing songs, clapping your hands, and listening to a three-point message. It's more than that. God loves you so much that he came and he took your place there on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. He took your place there on Calvary's cross, suffered sickness, disease, and grief and sorrow. He went through all of that so that you would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is symbolic of the tree of life because in him is life. And if you have him today, you have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. So God sent his Son in the world. He did that so that you and I would have the right to be saved. Praise God. You know, Jesus didn't come here to condemn this world. And Minister Glory, would you read the 17th verse there? Because Jesus didn't come here to condemn us. We already were condemned. We didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. But providing that when we begin to understand and receive him, listen to what he said in the 17th verse.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That the world through him might be saved. See, now I want to tell you something. That you see, Buddha cannot save you. And there are a lot of folks that they're religious and they put their trust in Buddha. But I want to tell you today that the bones of Buddha is still in the grave. You see, but the one that I'm talking about today, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his bones are not in the grave. He is risen, praise God. And even with Hare Hare Krishna, the Indian god. Let me tell you something. All these things that man has concocted and say, well, that's my god. Well, I tell you, the God that I serve, he's holy and he's righteous, and he never put the burden on me. He took the burden for me, praise God. You see, Hare Krishna, bones are still in the grave. Oh, I want to tell you today, if you're listening to what I'm saying, his bones are still in the grave. You got even Muhammad, Mustafa Muhammad, bones are still in the grave. You see, all those immortal men that cannot give you eternal life. But the one that I'm speaking about today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is eternal life. He is salvation. Glory to God. And I tell you that he didn't come in this world to condemn the world, only for the world to be saved, that the world might be saved through him. Do you want eternal life? It is a choice of your own. No one can force you. Jesus, he loves you, but he won't go against your will. He loved you so much until he will wait until you invite him in. Minister Glory, we were talking about a while back there that in Revelation 3 and verse 20, when Jesus, it was saying that Jesus, he stands at the door. And we're talking today about salvation. Because time is almost up. It's almost over. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, I pray to God that you would be right with him. You would bear his name. Have the authority that's been given to us through his name. And thank him for everything that he's done. Mr. Glory, would you read Revelation 3 and verse 20? Praise God.
It says, behold, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If, qualifier, any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come into him and him and will sup with him and he with me.
Isn't that wonderful? Mr. Glory, you know, he will not knock the door down.
No.
This is why it's so important that whatever problems that we may be going through, or you out there in Radio Land, if you're going through, extend the invitation to the one that makes the difference. The one that can change the total scenario. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
You see, the door that he's standing behind is the door of your heart. Every one of us have the opportunity, praise God. And from that's figurative language, but the most important thing is that the door that he's standing behind or in front of, it has no doorknob. We often look at a door with doorknobs on the inside and on the outside. Well, the door, he doesn't have a doorknob that he can turn that knob and come in. The doorknob is on the inside of the heart of the believer, or the one that's listening to what Jesus is talking about. So you're the only one that's able to open up that door, because he will never go against your will. If he knocked the door down and come in, then that means that he would go against your will and violate your free moral agency. But he doesn't do that. He waits for you to extend an invitation.
Amen.
Praise God. When you extend the invitation by opening up the door and allowing him to come in, because once the door is open,
yes,
then he is able to come in.
That's right.
And sup with you. Mm-hmm. And you with him.
Amen.
That's very powerful.
Yes.
That's why if you have problems out there in Radio Land today, regardless of the circumstances or the problems that you have, if you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into the situation that's going on in your life, he will come in and change that situation, providing that you open up the door of your heart. Isn't that wonderful, Minister Glory?
Wonderful.
You know, and the whole idea is that he's concerned about everybody.
Everybody.
No matter what problems you may have, he's concerned about it. lot of folks say, well, it's too minute. I won't talk to God about it. Yes, speak to him. Because what happened is that there's nothing too small for him to be concerned about. He's concerned about everything.
Yes.
That's why he came into this world, to bring deliverance to all of our lives. Ms. Glory, you have something you want to share?
And that's to everyone. This invitation to everyone.
Glory to God.
Not just the righteous. It's to everyone that believe on his name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the scripture tells us that it's not just for us.
No.
And we cannot boast because we're born again and we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. No. There may be people out there that are in the same situation and conditions that we were in prior to our conversion.
Praise the Lord.
This is why we look back and we throw the life raft out to those that are out there that are sinking.
Yes.
You don't have to sink. You don't have to be in the condition that you're in. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring deliverance in your life. He will do just that. Praise the wonderful name of our God.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Minister Glory, it was looking at the word where it tells us in Colossians 1, where he says that he has delivered us.
All right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Folks don't have to stay in darkness.
Nope.
They don't have to live the life that are contrary to the word of God. Jesus came to bring deliverance. He came to save you. The scripture tells us that. Do you believe what the word of God is saying?
Amen.
That he came to save you. You know, in Galatians 4, verse 4,
yes.
Minister Glory, you know, that's a very prominent verse of scripture there that's, is good for us all, because there was a time when Jesus came. He didn't just come on his own. And there's going to be another time when he comes. The Father's going to send him to get his children.
Amen.
Praise God. And I pray to God that everybody out there in radio land, and even if you don't know him, you get yourself right with God and be one of his children. Praise God. You know, in Galatians 4, you want to read that?
And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman.
Yes.
Made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's
praise
wonderful.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, woohoo, glory, Abba, Father.
We can call him Daddy. We can call him Daddy because we belong to him. But those out there in Radio Land, they're that you can't call him Daddy because you're not one of his children, but you can be. God is no respecter of person, and like I said, he loves you. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. The word of God tells us that. And when we abide in the word of God and believe what it says, you know, you may not be part of a church affiliation. You may be, maybe you don't even go to church. But I want to tell you, he still loves you, and he has given you the opportunity to hear the word of God so that you can make the decision to give your heart to him.
Amen.
You know, Minister Glory, it's not his will anyway that any perish.
Nope.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
God doesn't want you to perish.
Nope. He wants all to come to repentance.
Amen. Hallelujah. In him is life.
Yes.
And this is why he wants you to have eternal life. Praise God.
Yes.
And the reason I'm speaking on eternal life here is because it's almost midnight. The curtain's almost about to close. And you know, in the natural, when they close the curtain, that means that the play is over. And here, from a spiritual standpoint, the time is almost over.
Amen. It is.
All the signs and the prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Even as I speak, it tells us that Jesus is soon to come.
Amen.
We don't know when he's going to come, and we don't know what he looks like, but we do know one thing, that when he comes back, we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is.
Amen.
And I want you to see him as he is. But the only way that you can see him as he is that you have to be like him. Praise God. You have to be one of his children. Amen. Because he's coming back for the second time. Matter of fact, in Hebrew 9 and verse 28 there, Minister Glory, would you just read that for a moment?
Okay.
Since that popped up in my spirit. Because he's coming back a second time.
Yes.
Praise God. Without sin.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
Yes, he did.
And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
The second time. So he's coming back. Are you looking for him today? There are folks that are even confessing, carrying a Bible, and they are going to church. The question is, are you looking for him? Is your mind on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it just the mundane and humdrum way of life today where you just taking things as it is instead of occupying until he comes? This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
As children of God. We occupy until he comes. Praise God. Because we know that he's coming back.
Yes.
Praise God. And we're trying, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak to as many people as we can to tell them to get right with God, to be reconciled back to God. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You have a verse of scripture you want to read?
First John.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Where it says, let me read 11 and 5, 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And his Son is Jesus. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So you will not go back with him if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's coming back for a church, a holy church, without a spot or wrinkle or blemish.
Well, he's speaking of eternal life. There are a lot of people that have life. They're walking about. But the sad part about it is that they have life, but they are condemned. And you don't have to be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can condemn you. But it tells us there that if you don't believe on him, that you are condemned already. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to walk around with your grave clothes on. I say grave clothes. I'm talking about the same clothes that Lazarus had on to a certain extent there. Grave clothes. You can get out of those grave clothes and get this white robe of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to give you. I know I'm speaking to some people out there, and some of you may not even address the issue concerning salvation. You would say, "Well, I'm doing good. I don't hate anyone. I don't have problems with my neighbors. I don't commit murder or." I don't speak evil of people. All these things that one will say.
Self-righteousness. Is,
yes, they're operating in a state of self-righteousness. But that won't get you into the kingdom of God. The only one that will get you into the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. And the scripture tells us that if any man climbeth up any other way, he's a thief or a robber. You got to come through the door of the sheepfold. Isn't that wonderful, Miss Gloria? Right.
Jesus said, he is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, he's the only one that's able to allow us to come in, to go in and out of the sheepfold. Praise God. I pray today that you would have a desire, not through forcing, having someone to force you to make an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is not love. If someone forces you, that's not love. You come on your own volition. You look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. This is what you take notice of. And when you do that, and you see that he suffered the shame and all of the griefs and sorrow, he took your place there on Calvary, then you make the decision whether you want to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. There are a lot of folks today, they have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in the truest sense. But I want to tell you, he loves you so much. This is why he went there on Calvary's cross to die for your sins. That's what he's done. Die for my sins. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, Minister Gloria, would you read that quickly so that we can get that verse of scripture in? Because I want to let you know that he didn't die just for the righteous.
For he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So the whole world lies in sin, and this is why, not just the righteous. The scripture tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to extend this invitation to you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, as we close this broadcast, is vitally important that you hear these words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
But first, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, did you hear that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast. The only thing I request at the leading of the Holy Spirit is that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.